Greetings, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thankful to the Lord this morning that we can be together and open the Word and share from God's Word. It's a privilege to gather around the Word in a day like this. Very unusual circumstances of COVID-19, and yet the Lord has been good to us, and we trust that this morning He has something to say to us through His Word. Thank you, Dr. Yapi Malan, and my colleagues as well, that I'm welcome here to be among the students, and I'm looking forward to interact with all of us here. Let's stand together in the Word of God in the Epistle of Paul to Timothy, the second epistle. I'm looking specifically at verse 1, although we will read together a number of verses, but focusing on verse 1, even though we will be reading through to verse number 13. Let's read the Word of God. "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think of what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I'm suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy: if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." There ends the reading of God's word. Let us bow heads in prayer. Almighty God, thank you this morning that we can gather here around your word. Thank you for the privilege of hearing your word. Thank you for the grace you've given us that we can know you in Christ. And we pray that your word this morning, as we have read it and as it is expounded, that your word will draw us closer to you as the Spirit uses your word to further tame our hearts and transform us. We pray, Father God, that if there be challenges, if there be temptations in our hearts that are drawing us away from you, that this morning through your word you will draw us closer to you, and that you will speak at the deepest recesses of our hearts and convict us and bring us to yourself for the sake of Jesus Christ. Bless our day together and bless the ministry of this institution, the students, the staff, and everyone, Lord, who is participating in our various campuses. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As we have read, brothers and sisters, I think we can see from verse 1, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Be strengthened. Paul is talking to Timothy, a young man, a young pastor in the church, and he is encouraging him because he's a son to him. Remember, Paul found this young man as a very young man, tender age, and he sort of adopted him, put him under his wings, and mentored him to be who Timothy eventually became. And so he's giving him final instructions in view of the fact that he was now about to die, as he mentions it in chapter 4 of this chapter of this book. He knows he's going to die very soon, probably, and he gives his farewell address to this young man, almost like a carpenter putting the final knock on the nails to strengthen the nails. And he's saying to him, he's showing him how to live for God and how to serve in ministry in a crooked generation in which he found himself as a minister of God's word. And in this verse, verse number 1 of chapter 2, he's showing him and encouraging him to draw strength in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He's encouraging Timothy to draw strength in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, that strength that would give him then the power to be able to live as a faithful witness in his generation, but also the power that would enable him to do ministry. And you see this working in Paul's writings and in his preaching, in his teaching, that Paul often brings these two together. Life of godliness as well as ministry as an offshoot from that, an outflow from that life of godliness. For Paul, ministry flows out of a life that one enjoys of a relationship, a strong relationship with Christ. And he focuses Timothy on the grace of Christ here, the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And he says, "Timothy, I want you to be strong in this grace." Because for Timothy to be able to live right, for Timothy to be able to serve well, Timothy will need to be empowered. And what is going to empower Timothy here? The grace that is in Christ Jesus. The grace that is in Christ Jesus. How do we understand this grace? What is this grace? Paul talks about it in many ways. He uses different terminologies to describe this grace. In Timothy, in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, he talks about the saving grace. That work of grace, of saving, that we see in the life as well as in the work of Jesus Christ. What Jesus has accomplished for us in his death, in his resurrection, in his ascension, in his the fact that he's seated at the right hand of the Father and is soon coming. All that he has done for us, all that he has accomplished for us in bringing total defeat to sin and Satan and making it possible for us to have a relationship with the Father through his blood shed on the cross. making it possible for us to have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. It is that saving grace he's talking about. That saving grace that not only accomplished all that on the cross as a historical fact, but that continues to act actively in our lives, first by drawing us closer to God in our justification, and continues to work in us in sanctifying us as the work of the Spirit. And that continues to prepare us to that glorious coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying to Timothy, there's no new tricks. Sometimes we think, with New Age, we think, let's get new tricks for doing new things. We are living in a new era. We need new ways of doing things. Yes, we do. But when it comes to life, and when it comes to ministry, the same old ways of the gospel that brought us here is the same old ways that will sustain us in it. And he's bringing Timothy's attention to the matter of the grace of Christ in the gospel. And he says to him, Timothy, you must remain strong. You need to be strengthened. You need to be strong in the face of all kinds of opposition, even from false teachers. Remember in chapter 1, he has already shown Timothy that where in Asia, Paul mentions in chapter 1, that many have departed from this truth. Many have left me. And he mentions Phygellus. He mentions also Hermogenes. He mentions them in verse 15. Who have departed from Paul. Who have really bailed ship and said, no, this is not working for us. Or maybe twisted it somehow. And Paul is pointing to those bad examples to say others have already left this truth, they've fallen by the wayside, but you, my son, you have to emulate my example. He mentions his own example in verse 13. He says, my pattern of teaching. He also mentions the example of people like Onesiphorus when you read in verse number 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, as examples of those who have stood the test of time. And it's interesting that he even points to to Timothy himself as an example, as something for Timothy to be encouraged about. To say, he talks about his sincere faith. He points him back to his grandmother Lois, to his mother Eunice. And he says, that faith, it sincerely dwells in you. And so he says, you need to be strengthened. You need to be strong. You need not give up in the face of difficulty, in the face of the tests. And so, in being strong, Timothy will be able to have the necessary power to live as a witness for Christ in this crooked generation. But also, he will be able to minister well in this crooked generation. Let's look at how Timothy was to live right, drawing from the power of this grace. But even before we go there, let me make an illustration. It's almost like Paul is using this analogy of a power source, like as you would with this electric cable. This electric cable is a conductor of energy, electricity. By itself, It has no fire. It has no power. But once plugged in, it has the power to fire up everything we want to connect to this power. Apart from the socket, electric socket where it's plugged in, this is useless. It cannot generate any electricity by itself. And so there's the picture of that we can put forward to illustrate what he means when he says to be strengthened in the grace. And as he draws from that power, from the wall socket, and that power which is rested in the truth of the gospel, in the grace of Christ, which is administered to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, as he draws on that power, then Timothy will be able to have the character that is needed to be able to serve, to live for Christ, for God here. Notice what he says when he says in this second verse. He says, verse number 2, he says, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses and trust to reliable men will be able to teach others also and share as in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." You see? So in other words, character-wise, Timothy is going to be challenged. He's going to face suffering. He's going to face difficulties. He's going to face persecution. He's going to face challenges. And in the midst of those challenges, if he doesn't draw from that power, he's going to crumble. He's going to crumble. He's going to fall. Like many others who had already fallen, the examples that Paul puts forward in chapter 1, he's going to crumble. So Timothy will need to be empowered in the source of this gospel, in Christ himself. He will need to continually connect to the power source to be able to be strong in character, to be able to be strong in the face of temptation, in the face of difficulties. And he uses illustrations from everyday life. He uses the illustration of a soldier. He uses illustration of an athlete. He uses an illustration of a farmer. And you wonder, how, where is the connection here? The connection is both in the fact of personal disciplines. A soldier is a disciplined person. From the time he's enlisted and he goes through basic training and he lives out his life as a military man, he is a man of discipline. It's almost like the commander, he hears only the voice of the commander in his ears. He's concerned about the commander. He's concerned about what needs to be done in as far as the instruction given by the commander. And therefore, he doesn't get entangled. There's a certain sense of discipline in which there are certain things that are not for him, that other people may indulge in, but he himself or herself will keep himself and deny himself those things, even though they might be legitimate to him, but because of the fact that he is a soldier, he will deny himself those things. Why? There is a reason. It's not a meaningless kind of suffering. And we'll see that later on. But then also, you see the same pattern with an athlete. An athlete also is a disciplined person. An athlete does not eat whatever he wants to eat. An athlete does not sleep Whenever he wants to sleep, an athlete does not train whenever he feels he wants to train. There's a pattern that he goes to. And there are certain principles, there are certain values that he subscribes to. And again, you see the example of a farmer. A farmer works hard. He doesn't just plant the crop and goes and sleep or go on holiday. But he plants the crop. He will make sure the crop is irrigated properly. He will make sure that there is weeding that needs to take place. He will protect his crop by any means. We have seen sometimes driving through fields and you see there's a fire and you see all these buggies of farmers and they are spraying, trying to put out the fire. Why are they doing that? The farmer is putting sweat, blood and tears to protect his harvest because he knows he has a goal in mind. And so Timothy, he needs to put effort, the same effort, in his own character. As a man of God, as a godly person, he needs to be able to put those things. Just as a soldier, his eyes are looking at the final end goal, which is what? To please the commanding officer. Who is our commanding officer? Who is Timothy's commanding officer? Not Paul, but as it clearly states it here, remember Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ, never lose sight of the goal. You want to please Christ. It's not about your colleagues. It's not about those who are in Ephesus. It's not about anybody else. It's not even about me, Paul. But you have your commanding officer that you need to please. You want to come to the end of your journey and hear those words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You don't want to hear them spoken by your pastor, spoken by your leader, spoken by your lecturer. You want to hear those words spoken by the Lord himself. So as a good soldier, Timothy, he had to maintain discipline. If he was hoping at the end of his journey to hear that end goal, to achieve that end goal. And of course, as an athlete, with the eye on the finishing line, every athlete, whether they are running a comrades marathon from Pietermaritzburg to Durban or from Durban to Pietermaritzburg, in the mind of an athlete is that finishing line. All the suffering that he's going through is not meaningless. All the pain, all the muscle spasm and cramps and everything that he has to go through. Every step is taking him or her towards the goal, which is the finishing line. And so nothing can distract him. He's focusing on that goal, the finishing line, just as the farmer is focusing on the harvest season. And he says, therefore, Timothy, you have to endure hardness. Your character will be developed even in the furnace of affliction and suffering and difficulty. But you will need, Timothy, to endure hardness. You will need to endure hardness. And as you pull from the strength that you are getting from that plug, as you pull from it and you get energy, you will have the power you need to endure the race till the end, to remain faithful till the end. It's interesting that Paul says to him, As an outflow to from this also, he gives him instruction regarding now ministry. He says, now the things you have heard from me, entrust to reliable men who will be able to teach others also. In other words, Timothy has a responsibility to himself, but also Timothy has a responsibility in as far as the ministry entrusted to him of equipping others for the faith. And what is that ministry? The things you have heard from me. What did Timothy hear? Well, Paul is not secretive about it. He mentions it in chapter 1. And he says to him, follow the pattern of sound words, I think verse 13, that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. So there are certain things he has heard from Timothy, that Timothy has heard from Paul in the presence of many witnesses, and Timothy must entrust and equip others who are faithful, which would then presuppose that Timothy is himself faithful, because Paul would not equip Timothy and instruct him to equip those who are faithful if Timothy himself was not faithful. So then we see that from that character, that life that he was enjoying with Christ, a living relationship with Christ, Timothy now must be able to minister and equip others. So we see that both in his character, his life, and his ministry, he was drawing strength from the same source, with Jesus Christ and his grace. Grace is a powerful thing. Paul speaks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. You remember at that time a thorn in his flesh. He says, I prayed 3 times that God will remove this. And God said, I'm not going to remove it. Why? Because my grace is sufficient. It's enough for you. Because my power is made perfect in weaknesses. Which means the grace of Christ as mediated to us by the Holy Spirit is so powerful that it's able to sustain us and to keep us faithful. Isn't it what the other apostle Jude mentions in Jude chapter 1 verse 24? Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, and to present you before his glorious throne without spot or blemish. So we see that the same grace that is saving us is not, we are not saved by grace and then left to live on our own by our own power and strength, or maybe left to now do ministry by some power and strength and wisdom of our own. We are saved by grace. We live by grace. We minister by grace. And we will be received back home in glory by grace. It's all of grace from beginning to end. And it is this grace that gives us power for life and for ministry. Sometimes, as believers, we come to faith in Christ, and then afterwards, we say, okay, now I must do my efforts. It must be only by my own strength. And we minister in our own strength, and eventually we are fatigued, we are tired, and we give up, and we leave the ministry, because we are doing it in our own strength. In as much as we are saved by grace, we still need to maintain that connection. That connection. How do you maintain it? God has given us the means of grace. What are those means of grace? Well, we know them as believers. The same old means of grace, which is prayer and meditation, the study of the word, the communion of the saints. All those things are necessary to keep us connected to the power source. And sometimes as students, we are tempted due to the, and I've seen it in Kwamhlanga, I've seen it many times, that students say, you know what, we have so many assignments, I don't have time to be in devotion, I will be studying for the next test, and he sneaks out, he's hiding in a classroom, he's hiding in a dormitory. And he thinks, I'm so busy, it's too much busy, I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to fellowship with other believers. Actually, he's achieving the opposite. Because by so doing, he's disconnecting himself from the power source. Didn't Jesus say, apart from me, you can do nothing? No matter how much you work, you labor, you sweat, apart from me, nothing. If we are neglecting the means of grace, as Paul was warning Timothy, if we are neglecting the means of grace, we are disconnecting ourselves from that power source which needs to sustain us and help us to live, give us the power to overcome temptation, to be victorious soldiers of Christ Jesus, to be winning athletes, to be hard-working farmers. We are disconnecting ourselves from that power source when we start neglecting the means of grace. We cannot afford to neglect them. Our lives as Christians depend on it. And our ministries also depend on it. It all flows from it. In fact, if it doesn't flow from the grace of Christ, that's idolatry. Anything that is of our own doing, our own effort, is idolatry. It has to flow from the grace of Christ. And we have to be people that people can say, he's so full of grace. There's the grace of God. Like the church in Antioch, when they sent Barnabas to Antioch in chapter 11, we hear that when he arrived there, he saw the grace of God in the church. He saw that these people are walking with Christ. Christ is among these people. There was evidence of his grace, and people ought to see that evidence in our lives and in our ministry as well. And it's not going to come unless we are connected to the power source. Our walk with the Lord, therefore, ought not to be like a memorial to say, you know, I remember one day I said a prayer, one day I raised a hand, one day, as though our Christian journey is like a dead monument or statue that is lifeless. It shouldn't be like that. It ought to be a continuous, living, energized walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in difficult times, like trees planted by streams of water, drawing life from the river, from the water, our lives ought to be like that and ought to bear witness that truly we are strengthened in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Holy Spirit accomplish this in our lives. Amen. Lord, strengthen us in the grace of Christ and give us repentance and forgiveness where, Lord, we have tried to walk the journey on our own strength and power and wisdom. When we have even attempted ministry in our own strength and power and wisdom and have not really tapped to that power source, which is the Holy Spirit, where we have not really guarded the deposit entrusted to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Forgive us, we pray. And cleanse us again. And right now we acknowledge together as a body that apart from you we can do nothing. Give us the grace we need. And we say again, like those who are listening to Christ, give us more and more this bread. Allow us again to drink more and more daily from this source. May we never come to a point where we are sufficient on ourselves. But may we daily, every hour, need you, long for you, pursue you. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Accomplish these things, we pray, by your Spirit. Amen.